Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 post-earnings conference call of Control Print Limited. Today on the call from the management we have with us Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Jaideep Barve, Chief Financial Officer. As a disclaimer, I would like to inform all of you that this call may contain forward-looking statements which may involve risks and uncertainties. Also, a reminder that this call is being recorded. I would now request the management to detail us about the business and performance highlights for the period ended 31st March 2025, the growth plan and vision for the coming year, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to the management team.
Hello everybody, I am Jaideep Barve, the Chief Financial Officer of Control Print Limited. Welcome you all to the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter of the financial year 2024 of Control Print 24-25 Control Print Limited. We appreciate that you've taken out time from your busy schedules to attend this call. Thanks for that. Mr. Shiva Kabra, the Joint Managing Director of Control Print Limited, also joins me on this call. For first-time joiners on this earnings call, more information about CPL can be obtained by visiting our website. For information, the detailed presentation has already been put up on the website as well as in the investor presentation notification on the exchanges for this call. Let me provide you some highlights of the performance of CPL for the Q4 of FY 24-25 on a standalone basis. Revenues from operations. On a standalone basis, the total income for Q4 is approximately 114 crores, which is a good growth from approximately 98 crores in the Q4 of financial year 2023-24. The total revenue for the entire financial year 2024-25 is 395 crores. Just for information, for 2023-24 and 2022-23, the total income was 347 crores and 295 crores respectively. Pipes, food, dairy, steel and metal, cable and wire are few of our top performing business verticals. We have finalized the staffing and sales strategies to build up and ramp up the businesses for the tracking, trace, and the packing divisions in FY 25-26. Our outlook towards the sales and profitability of these two divisions is positive for FY 25-26. Expenses and profitability levels. The cost of goods sold on a standalone basis is around 41% in Q4. There is a slight improvement from the Q3 of the current financial year. It was about 43%. On an annual basis for FY 24-25, the cost of goods sold is approximately 40%, which is in line with the last year. That said, the management remains committed to optimize the procurement costs and also look closely into the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of operations. This, we feel, can definitely lead to reduction in the operating costs and overall profitability. Manufacturing costs remain at 3% of the total revenue for 24-25. It is similar to the complete years of the last two preceding years. Employee costs are 14% of total revenue in Q4. In comparison, this was 17% of the total revenue in the third quarter. That said, on an annual basis, this has remained steady at 17% for the current year and the previous year. Other expenses are 14% of the total revenue in Q4. In comparison, this was 15% of total revenue for the third quarter. This remains steady at 13% and 14% for the current year and the previous year, respectively. The EBITDA growth was 10.4%. The way forward for us will definitely push forward in the track and trace and the packaging segments. We'll have focused marketing and sales strategy and capitalize on the given market opportunities. We will monitor the revenues from both these divisions, both in India as well as overseas. Overseas subsidiaries will be continued to be monitored with the focused growth targets. Business plans have already been mandated for execution. For coding and marking, the install base will be increased, focusing on increased larger market share. With this, I will leave the floor open for questions.
Thank you, Jaideep. All those who wish to ask a question may use the option of raise hand, or you can drop a question in the chat window. Also, we request our participants to limit the initial questions to two per participant. Participants can now raise hand to ask their questions. We'll take the first question of Arnav Sakhuja. Arnav, you can go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So in Q4, we had slightly lower gross margins, which was because of higher share of sales of printers. So I just wanted to know, going forward, what is the level of gross margin that we can expect in our business?
Well, we are looking at gross margins on a close basis, but honestly, it all depends on the sales and or the product mix. So if you know the consumables percentage of sales increases, obviously the percentages would go up. So it also depends. It's a combination of two factors. One is, you know, like optimizing on the costs, and secondly, on the breakup of the product mix between the printers, consumables, spares, and the after-sale services. Shiva, you want to take this ahead? Hello.
Shiva, are you there? You can continue, Jaideep.
Yeah. So I guess I've answered your question.
Okay, and also just wanted to ask one more question. So in
Yeah.
Q4, we saw a negative tax expense of around 45 crores, and this is also reflected in a deferred tax asset.
Yeah.
So, what tax rate can we expect going forward?
I'll tell you, our Guwahati project was under Section 80I, so we had those benefits and we were eligible to claim the MAT tax entitlements. So what has happened is that in our MAT, we had a credit of about 49.57 crores, and since now there's a virtual certainty that, you know, like we can realize the same out of, you know, profitability in the next 2 3 years, and the project entitlements will cease. I've already ceased as of today, so we've recognized as a deferred asset. We are positive that, you know, like in the next 2 years we will make sure that we don't have to pay any tax, and the deferred tax asset would be used for that.
Okay, thanks for answering my questions.
Yeah, thanks.
You are now. We'll take the next question from Madhur Rathi. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding this coding and marking Codeology that we acquired, and they had some products that we were missing. Sir, so what is the growth plan for this segment going forward? Sir, how big is the opportunity in India? And sir, can we expect the margins in this segment to be similar to our India coding and marking business? And so second question would be, sir, on the track and trace that we are pushing further going forward, sir, how is the revenue model and margin for these segments? Is the additional cost added on the printers in the beginning, or is it more like a software as a service kind of a revenue that will be getting going forward, but in earlier phases the COGS or gross margin might be declined? So on that front, thank you.
Hi, sure, you want to take this question? Hi, Shiva. Vinay, I'll take this question.
Yeah, please continue.
Yeah. So Madhuji, your first question was related to the Codeology business. Now, the Codeology as a company, it provides a holistic solution. It is much more in addition to the pure coding and marking business what we do. So it involves, you know, like the conveyor systems, the coding and marking, the end of line print and apply systems. So it's a holistic solution what we offer in the Europe. It will be beneficial for the Indian company to, you know, like synergize and make sure that those products and those solutions also applied in the Indian industry. And that would be a unique proposition for our business. Regarding the growth for the Codeology Limited performance in the UK, there was a bit of, you know, recession for them in the year and a half before, but now it has been ironed out, and there's good order pipeline with us, and we believe that, you know, like the next year would be a good profitable business for the standalone Codeology UK operations. Regarding your query on the track and
Now,
trace,
are we ready to begin?
hi. You want to talk about track and trace, Shiva? So Madhurji asked a question about, how are we capitalizing on the track and trace opportunities, and would we see, a reduction in the costs for that business?
Sorry about that. I think my audio got disconnected without me realizing that. Oh, I'm ready anytime if everyone can hear me.
Shiva, we can hear you.
Yeah, my audio got disconnected, so I couldn't hear anything for the last 2 3 minutes. I thought maybe
Shiva.
some question queue to line up or something is happening, whatever, but she realized.
Shiva, are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear. I can hear now.
Okay, so there's a question being asked. Jaideep, you can repeat that.
So Shiva, Madhurji is asking a question about the opportunities in track and trace going ahead, and would we see a reduction in the operating costs for this segment?
Yeah, so Madhur, the track and trace business has two components to it. The first is the compliance, which is the essential element, which is the essential element that everyone needs to require, needs to meet. So everyone has to be compliant with the new government rules, and also for certain export markets, these rules are in place. Now, in that market, there are four major players. Similar to how Domino, Videojet, Nimaj are there, the I'll say the ACG, which is also a well-known company in India, Jekson, Vision, and to a certain extent, PharmaSecure and Optel. These would be the four major players in this business. Then there are some smaller players who do have like a fair amount of sales, but I would say that these are the four key players in this business. So for the compliance perspective, these are the four players that are used by most of the large customers. And in terms of what we need to provide is obviously we are providing a compliance-based solution, but we're giving some extended benefits beyond compliance. We're giving some extended benefits beyond compliance to a lot of these customers. And that's sort of what our USP is. So if you're anyways implementing the solution and you can get a lot more benefits out of it, then that's sort of where we are coming in. And there is some stuff that we've got also about three key patents in this area which we've been working on. On a technology platform, we are trying to come in on a sort of technological superiority basis and compete with some of the established players. This previous year was more about
Hello, Shiva.
Sir,
I
we
think
have
we lost
lost
you.
your audio.
I don't know why my mic is disconnecting every now and then, but the previous year was about establishing ourselves in the market, establishing our solution, and obviously there were certain holes that we had to fill in terms of providing the best.
So we can't hear you.
Okay, I just got disconnected and reconnected again. I'm not sure what's happened. But the previous year was more about establishing ourselves. The market itself is quite large and it's growing. Right now, I'll say against the pharmaceutical market is the addressable market.
I think Shiva, we lost you. Can't hear you.
Okay, I'm just reconnecting
Yes, sir.
here. Yeah, this thing doesn't work. I'll just connect on from the Zoom from my phone. But so my the thing is that the addressable market is.
Shiva, I think there's a problem at your end. I suggest you connect from the phone. In the meanwhile, we'll take the next question until Shiva can join back in.
I have a sub question regarding, sir, what would be the market size for this track and trace currently? And a sub question would be, sir, regarding the revenue and the cost front. Sir, are we adding the track and trace solution to the revenue at the start of the whenever sales are done, or it's more like a software as a service model, and initially the cost of production or cost regarding the employee cost or software would be
Yeah, I'm
high?
just logging in again from my phone, so just admit me in.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, no, actually. I said I'm logging in from my phone, so just admit me on the phone, please. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Continue, Madhu.
Yes. So I wanted to understand regarding what would be the addressable market for this segment, and what would be the rate at which
Okay,
this.
sorry about that, guys. I just got disconnected out there. Can you hear me now? I hope this is
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
better. Okay. Yeah, so the market is quite large in terms of the track and trace. We estimate it to be about 400 odd crores as of right now. Like I said, it's mainly geared towards the pharmaceutical sector and certain other regulated sectors. So there are certain things like agrochemicals which would include fertilizers, but especially pesticides and seeds, which are also governed under this. And now even one, two other new sectors like explosives and some other types of things have come under this category. So I'm apologizing again because I don't know why I'm having these speaker-related issues or with my mic and but anyways, now I'm just connecting from my phone. So the market is there, and definitely we are expecting a significant traction because we had a good response last year. We were implementing some projects, and I think that was more for a proving ground that we had to do with some major customers. Now the type of pipeline that we have is significantly better than what we had. And more importantly, our experience and our understanding in the of the market is much better. And like I said, we have highly differentiated solutions compared to the four existing providers. And obviously it's something I'm going to wait for us to maybe, have some more sales. I need to speak also to some customers to see if we can disclose anything because it's these are all confidential projects that when we work on these types of things, but we've got a good platform there.
On the revenue model, so this 400 crore market size, sir, is this only the equipment market or equipment plus the software part of it? And a sub question would be, sir, how are we pricing this? Are we adding the whatever solution or software that we are going to provide in track and trace at the start of the sales on whatever equipment plus whatever cost is there, or it will be more of a software as a service model and that will help us in margins going forward?
So there are two components to this. There's an equipment component. Obviously, as our primary business to supply the printers. So obviously there's the printers, there's vision systems, there's some certain types of mechanical conveyors, rejection mechanisms, or some agglomeration so that the primary is connected to the secondary, is connected to the tertiary. So it's a more of a, and in certain cases, this whole situation can be more complex. It all depends on the production line that the customer has. So when we're talking of about 400 to 500 crores, that's the size, including the equipment. And over time, the software part of that business is increasing. So I mean, this is just an estimate of mine because again, ACG especially who's the biggest in this business, has other businesses. Optel is a global provider. So this is our estimation of what the business size is. But it's growing. And this is in India. Essentially, what happens when you sell a piece of equipment or this thing, you sell the software with it, and then you charge for the software on a per code basis or per print basis, like a per QR code basis, or you charge on an AMC for the line for the year. So that normally depends on the production that's there on that line, but also the amount of what the cost of that specific line is.
So you can say, in general, if you sell a line for 100 rupees, normally the AMC charge would be 15 to 20 rupees, would be the software charges, which would be a recurring charge, after the first year.
Got it. So just a final question from my end. So regarding the losses that we have been incurring in our subsidiaries, so should we expect this 4 to 5 crore per quarter to be the bottom number, or and going forward it should improve, or how should we see this going forward?
So, like I said, in the original platform, we had discussed the packaging business. So, the losses are largely in the packaging business. The track and trace would have a relatively much smaller type of an investment. And that's happening in India. That's not happening at a consolidated level. That's a sort of different business platform compared to what we're doing right now. And definitely, we're expecting, like I said, it was like a 2-year plan for turnaround. I do want to say that we bought the company on, I think, March 24th in 2024. So literally, we just bought at the beginning of the year, and it's taken some time for us to, just get the operations to a normal set of operations. I do see that we've got a better type of a pipeline and growth there. That's going to take some more time to turn around. What we are doing is we're getting a better results. A set of results that we're expecting this year, but we're going to continue investing in that business. I'm expecting that the operational losses will come down, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to be focusing on scaling up that business. So in terms of a cash flow situation, it might not be any different. But in terms of operational losses, I think we lost about all the losses. Jaideep is on the call. Jaideep, you can answer this, but I think it was about 20 crores approximately, if I remember right, in the year gone by. So we definitely expect that to reduce over the course of the year. Like if you look at overall annual basis, right now we have to understand that we are selling more machines, and the machine sales and the revenue associated with that is sort of lumpy. So that's a bit up and down in terms of what sort of profits we derive from that. But as the number of machines increases and these machines get online, then the materials business will be a stabilizing factor in that business. But so far, what's happened is that the machines we sold, we've been taking a long time to sort of dispatch them and install them. So we've sold one machine, which we just installed in the Middle East, like I think about a month ago. We've got two more machines, one which is just commissioned right now in India. We've got a third machine which has been sold, but about 6 months ago. But we've not been able to dispatch. Like it's been shipped, but it's not been delivered and installed. So what's going to happen is as these machines start working, we should also start getting some materials business. Of course, that's a lower margin, but it will, stabilize that situation as and when we get more and more machines installed. So we're expecting better results, definitely than last year. But we might, on a cash flow basis, we might continue investing in that business, and most likely our call. There are a lot of things that we still need to build out there.
Got it. So just a final another question.
Madhur, may I request
Yeah,
you
I'll
to
get back
rejoin
in.
the
I'll get back in. I'll
please?
get back
We'll take the next question from Saket Kapoor. Please go ahead.
In. Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly,
Namaste, Saket.
sir, when you mentioned that the burn rate will be closer to this 20-25 crore, but what should be the revenue quantum that we can expect from? I think so. This year there has not been a major change. It is, I think so, the employee cost and the other overhead costs that are getting hitting the bottom line. So if you could just give us some color how that performance is going to be. And firstly, sir,
One second, Saket ji, just hold on to this question. Dusra question, just wait for 2 minutes. But just if you can repeat this question, because it wasn't clear to me, matlab, something about the overheads of the and the operational expenses. Are you talking
Yes.
for the standalone business or the
No,
consolidated
only
business?
for the console part, sir. Console part में सर हम revenue generation कैसा देखते हैं current year के लिए? You are telling that we can curtail the losses or curtail the burn rate to 20 crore, but what would be the revenue pie looking like for the console business?
No. So I think that we are maybe going to slightly increase the expenses in terms of employee expenses on a consolidated basis, but we expect the revenue growth to kick in to some extent, and obviously the margin on that revenue is should be good, and that should help curtail the consolidated losses.
And sir, secondly, to the track and trace solution part of the story, sir.
So just to get the first thing, we're not really trying to reduce the amount of people and costs further from what we have right now. We're not trying to increase it massively. It might increase by two, three people here and there, but not overall. But like I said, what we are looking at is to grow the revenues, and that's what we're expecting to see this year in a consolidated basis.
Correct, sir. So that track and trace solution part of the story is totally domestic. That is, we are catering to the coding business where it's an addition to what we are doing in terms of the consumable supply. Is that understanding correct for the track and trace solution business? It is
No,
totally domestic
I
focused.
wouldn't say it's part of our coding business. It's definitely a separate division or vertical for us, and it's viewed differently by the customers because for them, software expertise, integration expertise, printing expertise, and vision system expertise, all four are equally critical for them. And of course, it's a compliance-based business. So, to understand the entire compliance angle, especially in pharmaceutical, is quite important for them. So I wouldn't say, like, I think that the fact that we have mastery of the printing element is a good selling point, but it's not a necessary point. I don't think people are interested in taking the solutions from Domino, Videojet, Markem or Control Print if we didn't have a strong, if the overall package is not strong.
And
So
sir,
just
here.
to understand, it is what we're giving in terms of the printing is definitely one part of that solution, but it's not the it's not a sufficient aspect for the customer to think. It's not a part of the coding and marking business. It's a separate business.
It's not a part of the package to the customers who we are supplying the printers and the consumable.
No, definitely not. There's a lot of elements to that specific type of installation, so it's way too complicated for most customers to look at.
And sir, here the market size is 400 crore. That is the total target market.
400 to 500. So most of it is, of course, some part of it is equipment, and then some part of it is now, a lot of people have an installed base, so they also have a certain number of AMCs and software charges coming from the number of lines they've installed. So this is our estimation of what the business size is.
Correct, sir. And sir, now coming to
Maybe more
the
than 400 crores, but it could be bigger than that also because we don't have the exact disclosed figures from our competitors, especially not for the Indian market only.
just to conclude for the track and trace part, so taking into account the work groundwork that we have done and taking into that ballpark number to say 400-500, what are we eyeing, sir, in terms of a market share, in terms of top line, in say 2 to 3 years down the line, where do we think we will be placed, our company will be placed in this segment?
So, like I said, there are four major players, which on a technology basis, there are even other secondary players, but I won't say and they've got a good sales, but I wouldn't say that their technology platform is the same. So, like I said, ACG, Associated Capsules Group, which is a well-known company in India and it's a very good company, is the biggest player in this business, then Jekson Vision, Optel, and PharmaSecure. So the four of them are in this. Four good competitors. Like I said, we need to prove technological superiority in our solution with additional benefits to the customers versus these four. And that's what our focus has been in the previous year. For that, we've also had to do certain more development works on other types of things to make sure that our solution has sufficient benefit, because you have to understand that today, I'm just giving an idea. Of course, like just an idea, like a name. But suppose, say, Dr. Reddy's or Cipla has machines from, a supplier. He's not going to change, a compliance-based thing for like a saving of 20% on the equipment normally, or 20, 25%. There's got to be something bigger as a delta for him to move and evaluate a new supplier, and then integrate that new supplier into his line and his systems, because everything is connected to his ERP, his software, and his compliance also. So for us, it's more about creating that sort of delta in terms of giving the customer that we are targeting like a much superior solution, and sort of taking them away from compliance into, you know, different areas where we can serve their requirements. So I think last year was a proving and an understanding of what we can do, you know, and also certain developments that we had to do in the last year and a half to actually make our solution better. We're still doing certain developments, but now I think we've got certain areas or certain platforms which we can definitely scale up and which have a clear edge compared to our, you know, the four major other competitors in this business.
Right. So one more question.
It's difficult to see 2-3 years down the line because, you know, we believe we've got something superior. We're working with some customers. We need to install it, prove it. And, you know, if people are getting a sort of strong ROI and they see that visibility, then people will definitely pick it up in a strong way going forward. And if they don't see that, then, you know, then, yeah, we still got a good solution. But then, you know, we're just like another supplier and we'll still do okay, but it's not going to be like a fun business.
Yes, sir. I got your point, sir. And for the packaging, the V-shape part of the story also, sir, if you could just throw some more light for what kind of the target market. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. Sir, I was looking for the feedback from the V-shape packaging part also. What are we eyeing in terms of the current market, and in this, sir, what is in the supply chain, what are the key raw materials and how are we aligning the raw material supply chain for the same?
Yeah, so in the packaging business, you know, we are still working on stabilizing that. You know, we had I'd said, like, you know, we needed a 2-year plan to you know, help stabilize that business. I think in the track and trace, definitely we should see that, you know, we are coming to that level of maturity and this thing. In the V-shapes business, definitely we've got some good solutions. We're continuing to develop the platform and we've got our newer products that we've developed in the meantime. Now, as far as single dose packaging goes, you know, or mono dose, there's a huge market for it. So this is a much, much bigger market than the coding and marking business that we're in. What we've got also is a highly premium product and it's differentiated. Now, the question is whether, you know, we can, it's also more expensive. So it also, you know, it depends on the customers who want a premium package. For them, it's a benefit that might be there. You know, but the 2 rupee, the 5 rupee ketchup and shampoo is not really going to, you know, probably benefit from what we are offering. So, right now, what we're doing is we're just trying to create more of a market. I think the basic knowledge and awareness of our product is extremely low. So I don't know, like, I don't remember now, I studied those 4 P's of marketing and all that very long ago. But, you know, the thing is right now, we just need to reach out to a lot more people. We need more marketing presence in terms of helping that create our growth. So, like, the awareness needs to increase. You know, most customers are just not even aware that there is a solution like this. Those customers are aware, might think it's like, might not be aware that it's a serious industrial solution that can operate at high speeds and high volumes and can compete directly with, you know, single use packaging of stuff like thermoform or tubes or glass bottles or, of course, sachets and stuff like that. So right now, in terms of the marketing, we've got some salespeople in place. We've got certain other things in the marketing that we're working on in terms of, you know, at a ground level, in terms of, you know, like just websites, SEO, other types of things that we need to increase upon, you know, like our own presentations and so on. And we have to target very focused markets. So because the cost point is higher, we're targeting more things like nutraceuticals, you know, honey, stuff where it's not a very cheap product. So people can afford to spend slightly more on the packaging if it's premium and it's giving them that type of visibility, you know, like maybe cosmetics, serums, things like that, moisturizers rather than, you know, standard shampoo, the 2 rupee shampoo. So there is a market and definitely we have had a few sales as they get installed and we see more products coming to the market. I'm hoping that that itself will create like more awareness. So the main thing I think is to sell more will help us sell more. If So the initial part is always the more difficult aspect, and like each sale in the beginning is a lot more effort. What we can do and which we're working on is to try to see if for some reason our lead times and other things always seem to be a bottleneck, and we need to reduce that. So from the time we get an order to the time we customize a machine for those specific products to the time it's delivered and installed, that time is reduced. So the faster the end product comes out on the market, the more the awareness of our package will be. And again, this is a these machines are again manufactured sort of similar to our printers. They're much bigger. There's a lot more mechanical aspects to them, whereas we use more hydraulics. So there's like a lot more. There's a lot of stuff going on in there. It's a pretty sophisticated type of a machine. Parts are purchased. Some are machined. Some are this thing. A lot of them are custom made. And then a lot of electronics is purchased from standard guys like Fanuc and Siemens and those types of people, drives and so on. So there is a bunch of stuff. Some of it is there. The programming is what makes it work in the specific way that we require. There's not like that many custom suppliers that we rely upon. And as far as the materials go, that's still something that we're working on. That's also been a bottleneck for us. Our core material is, got an aluminium layer in it for a perfect barrier. We are trying to work very aggressively to come with a sort of recyclable material. And we've done pilot projects on that, and it's working well, it seems. And if that is the case, then we need to try to scale it up. So definitely one of the big issues in this business is that suppose, for a 10 ml packet, if the cost of the packaging is 2 rupees, and if we can reduce it to 1 rupee, which is our longer term target, then the market, addressable market, can increase quite significantly. And the other thing we need to do is go from a non-recyclable to a recyclable package. So those are the two aims in terms of the materials specifically. And we're doing other developments in the longer term also for biodegradable and other types of things, for other things. But this is the immediate target in this year.
Thank you,
Yes, sir.
sir.
I'll join the queue, sir, for
Thank
the
you.
core business question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Saket. We'll take the next question from Manan Shah. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was for the track and trace and the curious goods part of the business. I believe one of the problem that we solve through this business is counterfeits, and there is a big luxury market which faces this problem. So you spoke on the pharma side for this business, but what are your thoughts on exploring, or are we exploring, or do we have a solution for this part of the business where, there is already a problem for which we have a solution?
So Manan, what we are doing is one of the things, I discussed in terms of a differentiated technology platform. What we're targeting very aggressively is one of the things is the anti-counterfeiting platform and also the supply chain management at a different level. So we want to give those additional options to our customers, along with, of course, meeting all the compliance requirements from L1 to L5. So that's not an issue. But in terms of To be honest, the only market we've really explored is the pharmaceutical market. The only other markets that we're exploring are where Control Print itself is operating. And we're also telling some of our customers in other businesses like plywood or cable and wire that, we do have such a solution. Price points are very different. Expected, the amounts people are willing to pay in pharmaceutical is very different than what it is in other types of businesses and customers. So right now to be honest with you, I'll say like 90% plus of the effort is in the pharmaceutical business. It could be that we can explore other areas, and I think definitely luxury cosmetics, luxury goods in general could be an area. As of right now, because pharmaceutical is regulated, they have to do it, and they are looking for solutions. So that's sort of considering the amount of bandwidth we have, we've not been focusing on creating new categories right now.
Okay, understood. And my next question was on the V-Shapes business. I believe our capacity over there is approximately 40 units per annum. So if you can highlight how many units have we sold last year, and at what sort of sale do we break even? And I mean, to understand what are the levers to break even? Is it primarily the sales that will help us break even, or there are other levers to the business which can help us break even over there?
So in terms of the capacity of what we do in V-Shapes, it really depends on the types of machines we're selling. It could be as few as like 15 all the way up to 40. It depends on whether it's a standard twin, what we call the Prime Duo or the Nexo machine right now, or is it something more customized? So if there's a pharmaceutical machine, then they have, everything has to be purchased individually from the beginning. So the whole process becomes significantly longer. To answer your specific question in terms of the sales, we sold 3 machines last year, out of which none were installed last year because of some delays in supplies from our side and so on. Because we just needed to get some things. It literally took us 6 months to get things stabilized before we could really start focusing on sales and the other side. So we sold most of the machines towards the back end of last year. I can't tell you what's happening in this year, of course, and I'll keep you updated as and when we do more things. So, so we sold 3. I think in about, oh, I can't say. Like, I mean, I know Jaideep and me have done a calculation. It also depends on what sort of mix of models or machines are sold, and then also how many machines are running and the materials. So I think we have like about Jaideep. I mean, I'm just like, I think we did a calculation. I think we have like 60 or 70 machines, or maybe it could be less or more. But I think something like that, of the twin prime, the smaller machine, if we have like 60, 70 of them, I think we should be break even on the material business. Obviously, what we sell on the machines will be an additional revenue and an additional margin. So it's a combination business. We do make more money on the machines than we make on the materials. But then the materials is something that will be used year by year. So the margins and the volume margin is higher on the machine upfront, but the material would be like a consistent, I mean, over the next 8, 10, 12, 15 years, for this machine life. And that would be like more of a consistent
Right.
earning
So
that we could get from that.
you are saying, just to summarize, that at a so we break even around 60 to 70 units, right?
So I'm saying of the small type of machine. Now, what happens, like last year, we sold 2 big machines. So one big machine is about, say, like gives you about 2.5 to 3 times the usage of the small machine. So what I'm trying to say, like it really depends on where we are selling again and what the thing is. So when we are, I'm trying to like standardize everything. So I'm talking about the 2-track machine, but we sold like 2 8-track machines and 1 2-track machine. So the 8-track machine normally gives you at least about 2.5 times to 3 times the amount of business as the smaller machine. And it's only bought by customers who have, products which are running continuously. So in a way that would, you could also consider equivalent to selling 6 small machines, because 1 machine you sold and the 2 big machines would be worth like accordingly 5 small machines. So it's a combination, as in when we get a better idea of the breakup of the bigger machines and the smaller machines, we can, keep you posted on that. But
And we also provide co-packing services under this segment. So any success on that side or?
yeah, so we have some customers that we are doing it, including, like, I think, some people see, like, Bombay Shaving, of course. Like, I'm only saying this name because he himself has put it on his own X and Twitter and another handle that we'll never disclose a customer. So I think Bombay Shaving is supplying it to Taj and some other hotels. So that's also like something we're looking at keenly, because that will get more awareness for this. But in general, I'll be very honest, like we are not very fond of co-packing services. It's something that we're just doing because we have to give samples and do certain things for the customer. And that's why I think somebody asked for something about the work in progress. I remember some. And so the reason, we created some additional space in Nalagarh so that we can have like a licensed facility to pack foods and cosmetics in, so that we can just do this core packaging, but that's separate from our main coating and marking factory. But so it's something we do, but it's, more from the view of that it's sampling, it's other things. Now, if you keep coming to me month after month, I'll be like, hey, you got to buy your own machine and, make your own arrangements. So it's definitely part of what we have to do to help popularize the product, but it's not really our main focus because, we're not like a contract manufacturer, so to say. it's part of the, but we need to do it to help popularize the product.
Got it. Understood. Thanks. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, Manan. We'll take the next question from Bhargav Buddhadev. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congrats on the good performance. Sir, my first question is on the standalone business. So if I look at the printer installed base as on FY20, it was about 12,000. And now we are closing in at 21,000. So we've had a consistent 10 to 11% CAGR in terms of the printer base. But if I look at the gross margins in the standalone business, we have seen sort of some pressure on the gross margins. So we look at raw material cost as a percentage of revenue. In 2020, it was about 37%, and now it is about 42%. So how should we look at gross margins? Are we facing some competitive pressure which is resulting in this gross margin being under pressure?
So, like I said, in general, we don't change our margins at all. What happens is our product selling prices and our margins are about fixed. Now, what happened last year, I do think the rupee depreciated against the dollar. Two, three of our things that we buy from Taiwan and one, two other countries, besides the US itself, are linked to the dollar. So there might have been some slight cost increases. I think the rupee was a little bit down last year. We'll take countermeasures this year, in terms of some price increases and certain other things. But so normally what happens, we meet like once a year or twice a year as a set of managers, and when we meet, then only we go ahead with certain other types of strategic decisions like price increase and stuff. But so we normally maintain our margins throughout, and it's about close to 60%. Now, what happens is sometimes there's a different set of product mixes. Continuous inkjet printers have the highest margins, and also are piezo printers. Some of the other printers have lower gross margins, but then they require less costs in terms of selling and servicing them. So when we really look at it on a net basis, there's not that much difference. But on a gross basis, there may be some variations of the same. So it could be that the product mix has changed. I need to look at this very closely, what you're talking about. But in general, for every individual product line, we don't reduce our margins, our gross margins, or we don't increase them either. We keep them as it is. If there is a major change, it'll be because of product mix. Sometimes there's some temporary change. Again, I don't know, 2020, is that the COVID year also you're talking about specifically?
Yeah, I mean, just 3 months of COVID, so not like
So I'm not again very sure what happened in that year. So I'll have to look at over a longer trend line, but in general, about 60% overall gross margin is what the company targets, and we are normally somewhere close to that. I mean, Jaideep, you're here, just going to give some better idea on this.
yeah, so for the cost of goods sold, I mean, for the last since 2022, we are remaining constant at 41%, 40%. So this year also, we are and just about 40% for 24-25. It's similar to the line of last year and the year before last. So that kind of consistency we are maintaining. And again, as Shiva has rightly put up, is that it also depends on the product mix. I mean, the higher the number of consumables if we sell, obviously, the profitability is going to be higher. So
And the
that's
product
going to
mix in
be.
terms of the line of printers, different printers have different margins, gross margins to them, although the net works out similar.
And secondly, do we share what is the revenue run rate in the track and trace business? Because I see about 20, 22 crores is the burn which we are doing in the subsidiaries. So if we are not sharing that number, just wanted to know what's the guidance on this burn rate. Will we see reduction or will it stay around these levels for the next 2 years?
Bhargav, the track and trace division is part of Control Print standalone, so you'll not see it in any
Right.
subsidiary. The subsidiary that you're talking about, is that ICIPL? Can you just repeat which subsidiary you're seeing in there?
He's talking about the V-shapes thing, about the burn rate of 20 crores, he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
So that's
V-shape.
in the packaging business. That has nothing to do with the track and trace business. The track and trace
Right.
losses were part of Control Print standalone.
So is it possible to highlight what is the loss in the track and trace business? Do you share that or don't share it?
No, we don't give divisional performance. It's part of our internal MIS. So
Okay.
divisional performance we don't give.
But revenue run rate, the monthly run rate or yearly run rate, do we have some idea or?
Bhargav, at the moment we are not mandated to, give a
Sure.
segment-wise analysis
Sure.
at the moment. So when the time comes, we'll definitely give in our financial statements.
Sure. And this burn rate, is there a possibility of reduction or we are at, we'll stay at about 2022 crores? V shapes?
If I just agreed answer that, I think that as the revenues increase this year, we would expect that, we should reduce that operational loss significantly. But we don't know exactly where we're going to end up. It's just like, I think it's like May end or something. So as we know in the next 10 months, I think we should, like I said, even what we sold last year will definitely help contribute this year because it's just, I mean, out of three machines, one just like literally started a month and a half ago, and one is under installation, one is going to be installed in another month from now. So, yeah, so some things that we need to improve here. Obviously, as we sell more machines, that will give us some more revenue, and that will also give us a more consistent aftermarket business of the materials, which will, be a consistent earning. But yeah, I think we are expecting. In general, we've got the cost platform that we need largely, like I said, across all our subsidiaries, including CP Italy. But what we might add one or two people just more on the sales or marketing side. Not really. We don't need anyone el anywhere else in across Markprint, Codeology, CP Italy, or elsewhere. Or even in the track and trace, we might just add one or two more sales guys if we feel that we get the right type of fit. So we've got some people. We might add that one or two people to help just give us that extra thrust if we feel we get that right type of person. Other than that, we're not going to see any major cost increases unless there's some unforeseen issues that happen. So in that case, as we sell more, we should get some more operational leverage and, the SG&A will be spread over a bigger revenue base, so the gross margins would really flow in to the reducing the losses.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you, Bhargav. We'll take the next question from Gaurav. Gaurav, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Gaurav, can you be a little louder, please?
Sorry, is this better?
Yes, it is better. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Hi, sorry. I just have three relatively basic questions, slightly new to the business. What is, do you all share, or maybe could you give us an indicative sense of gross margin? Let's say across different verticals, whether it's consumables or printers. And the reason I'm asking this is, going back to Bhargav's question, let's say in FY 18, 19, gross margins were, almost north of 65% with a lower consumables mix. And today that's a lot lower with a higher consumables mix. So just trying to understand how do we think about gross margins, let's say on a 3-5 year basis.
So, like I said, I think overall we were talking about 60% overall. There was a certain period, which I'm not sure which year you're referring to, where from Guwahati we were getting certain additional benefits from manufacturing out there. Okay, so that boosted our gross margins because we were getting certain tax benefits that we used to accumulate straight to the bottom line or pad our gross margin up further. We still get some, but then the amount reduced quite sharply at 2018, 2019 or something like that. So we got some benefit for a couple of years and then it reduced. So like that could have been a change, Again, I will say that at a certain point of time, we used to, our CIJ was like 85% of our business, and Valjet was, so like, I'll say like till about 5 years ago, LCP Valjean and CIJ was probably like 90% of our business. So as a result, the margins were high because we were more for, even though we have like had theoretically six or seven products, we never actually really focused on selling the thermal transfer or the thermal inkjet or even the piezo for that matter. whereas now they are forming a significant part of our growth. So, so those issues could be there. Like I said, in every individual product line, we don't change the margins. And there, if there are certain cost increases or certain other types of things that happen, we normally also would increase the prices in proportion. But in general, our overall target would we expect from the mix of products that we are selling should be about 60%. You know, like I said, different product groups have different margins, you know, but on an overall basis, like I said, certain product groups also have lower operational costs. So on a net basis, we think that everything would be the same.
Got it. And you know, just the second question was on the consumables component, like let's say ink, or any example you want to take over there. Just trying to understand how pricing has moved. So let's say, you know, on a per cartridge or a per liter basis, you know, just given that the business is very sticky, is this a segment where you can take, let's say, you know, 5 to 7% annual price hikes, or just trying to understand how pricing is, you know, how pricing moves in that segment.
So some of our competitors have been a bit more aggressive in terms of increasing prices than us. I think I've disclosed that in the past, and there's now, you know, I'll say more of a pricing gap between, you know, a little bit of a pricing gap between our three competitors and us. So far, we've not taken a very aggressive stance on that because we're getting a fair volume growth. And like I said, last year the rupee depreciated, so this year we'll probably be looking at some sort of a price increase. So in general, it's been more for us, you know, genuinely, if we feel the costs have increased, that's when we've gone for a price increase. We've not really used it as a revenue lever. It's something we need to discuss internally, whether we need to do that. And like you're right, so the product is sort of inelastic, or sticky, but it's not being used so far by us. So it's something we need to discuss deeply inside. I think as a strategy, if this is a method we want to go down or not.
Fair enough. So,
But
I mean,
if there are cost increases, we normally pass them on with a little bit of a lag. So sometimes you might see the margin dropping 1, 1.5%, and then it comes back. It's because sometimes, like in the COVID time, there was a lot of certain cost increases in this thing. I think because the rupee depreciated so a little bit unexpectedly compared to what we expected, prices increased a little bit, and then we'll, you know, recapture that by some price increases. So it's more like in line. It's not, you know, not a fundamental way of increasing our margins and revenue, but it's more to capture like a justified cost increase on our side.
Got it. So I mean, it's fair to imply from that that there is a fair pricing umbrella that you all can still work towards in terms of working upwards versus where your direct peers are.
Compared to them, yes. Compared to them, yeah.
Okay, got it. And just my last question, again, you know, partly from approaching this, with less context, but you know, it seems like there are a few businesses which are in an investment phase, like V-Shapes and let's say Track and Trace over the next few years, next 1 or 2 years. And then there's the core marking and coding business, which is quite stable. So, you know, you mentioned that you'll probably give this investment phase, you know, maybe 1 to 2 years more, and then sort of decide as to, you know, where we go from there. So let's say if we were, you know, 3 to 4 years out from now, right? And you've decided to keep some businesses, you know, invest in others, et cetera. How should the business look? As it, you know, what is the bare minimum in terms of how do you think the business should look in terms of size and margins once you made those decisions, and where, you know, let's say a few years out from now. Thanks.
I mean, a few years out from now is very difficult to predict. So, like I said, you know, in the core track and trace business, I mean, rather core coding and marking business, we've got a history of what that business is like. And we know that the industry is going to grow at about 9, 10, 11%, you know, state as 10%. We believe we've got a slightly better product mix, so we should do 10%, maybe a bit more, you know, and we've done that over the last 2, 3, 4 years or something like that. So hopefully we can continue that. And like, I think it's not only that we've gotten more digital printing things. So we've integrated some of the Markprint products, you know, some of their technology in India, or certain other types of things that we've done. So we are also advancing on that front. We've done a lot of innovation in the high res. We have some 3 key patents in the thermal inkjet. and we've come out with a new product, which is not going to be successful because the ink development is still not complete. But we would have a leading edge product if we did have the ink developed in time. But so we are working on, we're definitely doing our investment in the coding and marking business on the core side. But these are R&D expenses that we were taking anyways, and we're just continuing them. So we're still trying to maintain our competitiveness in that business and try to grow a bit faster. As far as the other businesses, like I said, go, I think, you know, we're working on a platform of technological superiority, you know, and that's what we want to establish, both in the track and trace. We are also like a premium player compared to the other players that I mentioned. So what we need to do is we need to offer a sufficient delta, you know, of at least 30% plus in terms of value to the end customer for him to consider changing platforms from what he's using right now to us. And in terms of, you know, the packaging business, again, you know, like I said, right now the market awareness of this product is very low. I obviously, you know, it was, you know, fundamentally my, you know, decision to look at this thing and invest in it. And I think that there's a massive scope in it. But like I said, you know, like we are still in the early stages and we are struggling and we are working to make, you know, things run smoothly. And my focus, or, you know, what Control Print is bringing, of course, we've got some differentiated technology. We've got some other stuff. And especially in the packaging business, what we feel is we know how to make a business run smoothly and scale it up consistently, especially if it's a technology-based business. And that's sort of the type of management that we want to, and, you know, that type of process-driven skill that we want to bring in into that packaging business. But, you know, in the end, these are markets that are slightly different than, you know, what we've, or which I've been working in personally, or even some of the other people. So it's very difficult for us to give a view from, you know, 3, 4, 5 years out. But I think in the coding and marking business, we're quite confident that, you know, things should work smoothly. Like I said, in other things, we're still building out. And honestly, even if you're successful in building out, that just means you'll have to continue reinvesting and building out. Because right now we are, even in the packaging business, the only places we are targeting is some part of half of Europe and India. So we've not even got our marketing act together outside of that, whereas actually it's a global business. So even in the track and trace business, the idea would be if we can prove it in India, we can again take that solution elsewhere to certain other geographies and see whether we can exploit that. But if we're not able to do it here, where customers know us and, you know, they give us a better reception, then it's going to be difficult for us to do it elsewhere.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gaurav. Sir, since we are running short of time, we'll take the last question from the line of Deven Kulkarni. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So can you share the split of like printer revenue, consumable revenue for this quarter?
For this quarter, the breakup between printers, consumables, spares and service is 14%, 58%, 11%, 16%.
Okay, thank you. And how many printers did we sell in this quarter?
836.
Okay, got it. And last year, this number was 630, right? Number of printers sold in the Q4 of FY24, yeah.
It was actually more. It was 868.
Okay. Fine.
Thank you, Devin. Since that was the last question, I would request the management to give their closing comments, please.
Thank you, everybody, for joining on the call.
Shiva, yes, would you like to give?
Yeah, absolutely. I think thanks, everyone. A lot of great questions. A bit surprising because I think more questions on the track and trace and, you know, the QTS codes business and the packaging business than the core coding business. But yeah, I think if there are certain things that people would want us to put up, you know, I think we'll try to add those additional, you know, details. We have a pretty extensive ERP, so we get a lot of data. So if people need some specific question, then we feel it's not compromising our secrecy or our competitiveness, then we are glad to share that. So thanks everyone for joining. I really appreciate your time that too during the working hours, and best wishes.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you to the management, and thank you to all the participants for joining this conference call. You may all disconnect now. Thank you.